This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, in today's Psalms, we pray that the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in your sight. In light of today's message, may the actions as we walk with our feet be directed towards you and be acceptable in your sight. May the actions as we reach out with our hands be acceptable in your sight. And may our eyes, the way we choose to envision the world, may it too be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning, saints. I know for a fact that at least 30 people from St. Joseph's Episcopal Church went to hell this year. And now that I've got your attention, let me explain. There in ancient Jerusalem area is a valley. And this valley became a holy place for pagan worship, especially for an idol god known as Molech. And the people made an image of that idol god made out of iron. And the historians tell us that they would light a fire on an annual basis and place this god that was depicted with arms like this held out. They would place that image of that god over the fire, and the iron would heat up, and eventually the heat would come to the hands of that god. And as twisted as it was, families on an annual basis would bring a child to that fire and place the child in the burning arms of that idol, and the child would die. At the same time, the parents would have a list of things that they would request, things that they would want in return for the sacrifice that they would give to this god and drop in the fire. And by coincidence, we're told that this particular pagan festival usually took place on or around our December the 25th. December the 25th, a red idol where they place a child upon it with a list of things that they would like to have. Sound familiar? Some historians think that in a twisted way, this is somehow how we got into the whole pagan side of Christmas. But the historical fact is that this is what took place. And you can look it up in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 23, verse 10. It's mentioned in Jeremiah and several other different places, that because this particular grotesque thing took place there, that this place became considered unholy. And if we look at the first slide, you can see where this particular place is. Over on the left, you see the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, the holy place for not only Christians because of the Temple Mount, but also for the Jewish people, but as well for the Muslim celebration they just had, because it's believed to be the place where the sacrifice of Abraham took place. That's why all this hubbub was going on in the Muslim world this past week. And then on the other mountain is the Mount of Olives. So with Mount Zion there, there is that valley right between the two. Now, when it comes time for Jerusalem times that would have led down to the time of Jesus, this is what was known as hell. The word is translated usually Gehenna. It was the garbage dump. It was the place where the criminals who had been killed would be burned, where the trash was thrown. There are caves there where the lepers would hang out there because they were considered unclean. Now, I say 30 people from St. Joseph's went to hell. Well, yeah, we did. Next slide. There you get a different view. There's, if you look closely, you can see Lyle and a couple of other our pilgrims with Ramon with the white hat pointing us out that particular area. Next slide. Next slide. There, from a different viewpoint, there are the 30 people who went to hell. Go ahead. Next one. Another one. Next slide. And I think there's one more. And there we are at Masada, just to show you that we went to hell, but we got out. Now, why is this important? Well, this was the garbage dump. Have you ever driven on the turnpike and you get close to one of those garbage dumps? I don't know about you, but we always put the air on recycle because depending on which way the wind is blowing, it smells really bad. Well, they didn't have those kinds of opportunities. They were outside. No camel has a recycle button for the air. They would have probably been smelling this garbage, depending on which way the wind is blowing, on a regular basis. And as you can see, there isn't much difference in geographical location from being to the holiest place to being in hell. Now, I think there's a metaphor there that Jesus would have probably wanted to bring out. Do you want to be in the teeming city, the holiest, the mountaintop experience, or do you want to be in Gehenna, in the garbage dump, in hell? A group of us were able to go to Father William's wonderful installation celebration out in Nevada, and those fires in California came across the mountains, and the day after the installation, there were actually warnings that came out saying, don't engage in outdoor activities. Well, we had an outdoor brunch. Probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but you could taste it. You could taste the burning stuff. This would have been going on when Jesus would have told this particular story. So the setup for this then is, it's not very far from being up here to being down there. And now Jesus goes in and he gives some practical illustrations of to what we need to watch out for. The first of them is very clear. And if you look to the Old Testament reading that's assigned for today, it's the same message. If people aren't against us, they're for us. John gets upset because a guy's using the name of Jesus to heal somebody, and Jesus says, look, if he's not against us, he's for us. It's the same thing that happened in the First Testament reading today. That people were prophesying, and well, they weren't one of us. And the leaders say, it's okay. The thing that Jesus, I think, gets at here is he gets at with all things, is that we're supposed to be agents that bring unity, not people who bring division. There's something demonic that can be a part of us, that whenever things aren't being done my way, I want to sort of kill the efforts. And so I start trying to be divisive. And Jesus makes it very clear. He came not to divide, but to unite. How many times in my life when things aren't going the way I would like them to go, the temptation is there, and I need to treat it as such, to try to kill whatever it is by dividing, rather than trying to be an agent of uniting. This can be true in this parish. This can be true in our friendships. This can be true in our schools, in our workplaces. We need to be agents that unite. Then he goes on and he gives three other illustrations. Now, I want to make it clear that Jesus is not into self-mutilation. So we don't want anybody going and taking this gospel literally and cutting off your hand or your foot or gouging out your eye, because we've had enough visits to the ICU unit this year. We don't need any more. It's a metaphor. And I'd like to bring out three metaphors today that I think these particular parts of the body stand for very well. The foot, the hand, and the eye. The foot. What do we do with our feet? We walk. We move. And there is a certain direction that we go. The question we ask ourselves is, am I running away or am I running toward God? Or if it's in terms of my spiritual leadership, am I leading the pack or am I following the crowd? Am I stumbling with my feet because I'm not paying attention to what really matters in life? Or perhaps I'm hobbling around on one foot in terms of my spirituality. Or to look at it another way, am I stepping on other people's toes with my feet so that I can get ahead of them? The book of James that we have been reading from these past weeks speaks a lot to that. Or perhaps my feet are taking me in a totally wrong direction. I got a great image for this week. If we can go to the next slide. I'm sure you recognize this crossing guard sign that's out on Seacrest. We had the city of Boynton Beach put it up many years ago when a bunch of our kids almost got run over out there with the people speeding down Seacrest. And when I came back from my time away, I noticed that this particular sign was on the ground. I don't know if you saw that. Somebody ran into it. If it was one of you, I hope you didn't hurt your car. But anyway, I asked Pablo to go out and try to fix it. And because it had been knocked over completely, the part that was underground of the pole was cut off. So when he places it back up, it's going to be shorter. And he came up and he said, Father Marty, I fixed it. I hope it's okay. Well, I'll look at it tonight when I drive home, Pablo. Well, what you see here is not the way he put it up. He had it facing the other direction. And so this sign, if you can picture it facing the other direction, was telling the people passing by to watch out for the kids walking on the sidewalk, which wasn't exactly what we wanted to warn people about. You go to the next slide, you just get a couple of different views, and you see that we have them on both sides of the street, and one more, you get one more viewpoint of it. Next slide. So the point is this, you know, it wasn't doing any good because it was pointing in the wrong direction. Well, I can do that as well with my life. If I'm pointing in the wrong direction, then everybody that looks at me is getting the wrong idea. So what direction am I walking? I say a lot by the sign I present. Now Jesus goes on from there, and he goes from what we're walking, the direction we're walking, to what we're doing, our hands. Our hands represent the actions that we take. Do I lend my hand, as the saying goes, when somebody needs it? Or in another way, do I use this hand to push people away because I don't want to deal with intimacy in any way, shape, or form? I don't want to let anybody in. Or in another sense, is that hand always clenched because there's so much rage inside of me? There's no way I can lend a hand in that way. Do I join hands with people as we walk in the same direction to meet our goals? One, the direction we're walking. Two, the actions we take. And then three, our eyes. Simple metaphor for the way we envision our world. The eye is a metaphor for seeing, for understanding, for our ideas. Am I choosing just to close my eyes to the suffering that's going on around me? And we don't have to think in global terms here. Just as much the suffering in the relationships of those who are close to me, or even the suffering that's going on inside of me that I refuse to confront. What am I perhaps being asked to open my eyes to see? Do I just want to close my eyes so tightly that I don't have to deal with the reality? Or have I lost my focus and I just choose to roll my eyes? Who do I refuse to look at? Avoiding eye contact with them. You know, this going back to the whole idea of being a uniter instead of a divider. Jesus did that by treating everybody with value. We're getting a great example of that with what Pope Francis has been doing along the way. Is there ever a child he hasn't stopped to try to talk to make eye contact, to pick up? Or a handicapped person to stop the Popemobile to make sure he greets them? We are called by Jesus to choose the teeming city or the garbage dump in the valley. He gives us four ways to do that. To be a uniter, to use our feet to walk in the right direction, to use our hands to help others, and to choose the vision of the world that He would have us have. We choose the teeming city or the garbage dump. Choice is ours. Let's choose well. Amen.